CBS honors the return to the air of one of radio's first talents, Norman Corwin. Each Tuesday evening during the next 26 weeks on these programs, you will hear music, drama, comedy, fantasy, operas, documentaries, the entire range of the versatile Corwin art which has in the past brought you many familiar radio classics. Tonight, Columbia presents Corwin's Movie Primer with music by Lynn Murray.
This is a movie primer.
Ba la ba la ba la.
The most elementary show you've heard.
Ba 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 ba.
An alphabetical primer.
A B C D F E.
Degree by degree from A to Z, our primer will prim the movie industry.
The movie industry.
A. A stands for ads. What are ads?
Movie ads are tempting advertisements which entice you not to miss the pictures they are advertising, but in spite of which, people go to see the pictures anyway.
A writer has to be gifted in order to write ads for the movies, for he is dealing in unforgettable commodities, which no person can afford to miss them.
The most gifted ad writer of them all was Magnum J. Naptha, who left among his papers when he died under mysterious circumstances in 1928, a freestyle cantata entitled, You Can't Afford to Miss It, which we now give the premiere performance of it.
Oh, John Q. Public is a 10-year-old with brains of a backward pie. I knocked him cold with a slogan pole that has shaped the leg for his eye. Tell him he'll want to laugh and cry. Tell him he'll want to cheer and hiss. But whatever you tell him this, it's a picture you can't afford to miss.
It's a picture you can't afford to miss.
An unbeatable drama of today's immortal brand of courage and love.
It's a picture you can't afford to miss.
Dashing, fascinating, impulsive. He risked a kingdom for this one kid.
Oh, show him a villain with an ugly smirk and a man and a maid in the park and a smoking gun in the hands of a jerk and a passionate pair in the dark. Tell him it's the greatest drama yet. Tell him he'll thrill to every kiss. But whatever you tell him, don't forget, it's a picture you can't afford to miss.
It's a picture you can't afford to miss.
Here is majesty, glory, magnificence, a motion picture beyond human description, but within the reach of every human heart. B stands for boy. What is boy?
A boy is what has to meet girl before he can lose girl and then find same again.
Boy meets girl is one of the most ancient and honorable formulas in the movies.
This is not only fitting, but true to life. Because if boys didn't meet girls regularly, as a matter of course, where would we all be today?
Mostly the formula is boy meets girl, boy loses girl, and boy finds girl. But every now and then, there's a refinement on this formula, as in the case of the picture Random Harvest, see figure one, which went something like this.
Boy loses mind, boy finds girl. Boy finds mind, boy loses girl. Girl finds boy.
Of course, this classic formula of boy meets girl varies in different countries. In France, before the war, one of the favorite variations was
Boyer meets girl.
And in China, a very old land whose culture goes even further back than the Golden Age, the ancestral formula is
Hey,
hey, wait a minute. You're giving away the whole story.
Very sorry.
All right, next letter.
C. C stands for columnist. What is a columnist?
A movie columnist is a columnist who writes about movies and the innermost thoughts and habits of movie people in a most innermost and intimate way.
A few columnists have become so famous that legendary poems have gotten to be written about them. As, for example, the inscription found on a movie temple in Cairo near the Great Pyramid of Thebes.
Life is just a Bolsky of Sidney Skolsky.
But a certain school of columnists is very paternal toward movie stars. They write gabby open letters to stars, which everybody would just assume they were closed letters.
Here is a typical open letter offering sound advice to Claire Trevor. D. D stands for dialogue. What is dialogue?
Dialogue is the things people say to each other in talking pictures.
It varies according to who's talking to whom.
In figure 4 below, you will see how the great Russian director Sergei Butadain of the Dniepropetrovsk Art Theater demonstrates various kinds of dialogue.
Now, what is first non-dramatic dialogue in earliest primitive drama? The answer is, who was that lady I seen you was last night with? That was no lady, that was my wife. Now, in cowboy pictures, is must be different expression. Here is cowboys speaking.
Clem Logan, I'm offering you a simple choice. Either you come clean and tell us who that lady was you were seen robbing the mail train with last night, or else.
Sheriff, reckon I don't mind telling you. That was no lady. That was Tiger Lily Lou. And this for you.
But in smart English drawing room pictures, same dialogue is must be also still different. As example,
I say, Begley, old sport, who was that lady I saw you making time with last night?
I dare say that was no lady, Trammell. That was your wife.
Oh, touche, Begley. Well done, old boy. Neat.
Thanks, old fella. Here's mud in your eye.
Bottoms up.
But in a musical type picture is altogether different problem. In such instance, dialogue is lyrics to music.
Who was that dame I seen you with before? Who was that mouse? Don't tell me of no more. Come clean and name the lady, identify the doll.
That wasn't any lady. That was my chain and ball. The honeymoon is over. The honeymoon is dead. I wish the lady wasn't her, but it was you instead.
E. E stands for espionage. What is espionage?
Espionage is when a spy or a secret agent is sent to find out the formula of a deadly new gas which the enemy is manufacturing in a hideout factory near Upper Strudelheim.
Movie spies get into places where no ordinary spy would dream of getting into.
Mostly on account of they are very attractive and have a way with the opposite sex, and also because they are friends of the scriptwriter.
F. F stands for fan club. What is a fan club?
A fan club is a club made up of movie fans who have pledged allegiance to a particular star and who worship at the shrine of said star with the unquestioning devotion of man's best friend, the dog.
Fan clubs meet periodically to discuss the diet, love life, wardrobe, and spiritual well-being of their heroes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mrs. Crowell?
As Vice President and Treasurer of the Dennis Cartwright Fan Club, I would like to move a resolution.
Go right ahead and move, Mrs. Crow.
Thank you. It seems to me that since Dennis Cartwright has been married to Delma Drake for 6 years, it's about time they raised a family. I move that we write a letter demanding a child by October of next year.
Luckily, we have with us in the studio tonight a past president of the Affiliated Brotherhoods and Sisterhoods of the Amalgamated Fan Clubs of America, Inc., Mrs. Pamela Glucose Wilberforce. Mrs. Wilberforce, what can you tell us about fan clubs?
We have sponsored 1,422 new starlets in the past 6 months.
Well, just what does sponsoring entail, Mrs. Wilberforce?
I'm glad you asked me that question. We also write letters to stars so as they will not be lonely.
And, how many do you...
Clark Abel. And in my own private collection, I have a genuine razor blade that was once nicked by Robert Young. Plus an old painting by Cezanne that was thrown away by Edward G. Robinson when he was through looking at it. The frame was a little broken, but
G.
it was still very good.
G stands for glamour. What is glamour?
Glamour is a peachy thing which comes from smelling nice and using the right mascara, in addition to brushing your teeth with Glamodent, the toothpaste of the stars.
Glamour is made, not born, as may be seen by consulting the case of Bessie Snohomish, 23, of Guppy Inlet, Long Island.
My name was Bessie Snohomish, but they changed it to Brenda Snow. They said I was a discovery whose natural, unspoiled beauty was refreshing. But the first thing they'd done was clip off me eyebrows and stick new ones on. Ask the makeup man.
We merely shaved her scalp and gave her a new head of hair.
Also, they give me porcelain caps on my teeth so my smile will thrill millions.
And then, of course, we had to lift her ears because they didn't point enough. The left one had to be cropped a little.
Then they taught me how to walk and sit down and smoke and speak. I didn't hardly recognize myself when I seen my daily Russians in the perfection room. For one thing, I didn't recognize the way I talked, which was like this.
How nice of you to come to see me about your husband, Mrs. Wedgwood. Won't you sit down?
I sometimes suspect they dubbed off somebody else's voice for my own. But they tell me your voice always sounds different to you when you hear it back on a phonograph record. I don't know, glamour's a funny thing, all right.
H. H stands for Hayes Office. What is the Hayes Office?
The Hayes Office is the office that saves you from being corrupted by sin in the cinema.
There is a pledge of honor which every censor who works for the Hayes Office must take before he can review a picture. This oath is usually sung by the novitiate with the assistance of a massed choir.
Crime must never pay off, and passion, warning, stay off. And should there be a look at last, she shall not pass.
She shall not pass.
The races must not mingle. Antandra must be single. A fiver will be better if no girl wears a sweater. And if a kiss has too much mash, it shall not catch.
J. J stands for journalism. What is journalism?
Movie journalism is when the hero is a star reporter with complications.
The most remarkable movie reporter in history was Herbert W. Dupuy, Jr., a tall man of about 40 with thinning hair.
Luckily for us, Mr. Dupuy is in the studio tonight to tell us about it.
Yes, sir. Here I am.
Mr. Dupuy, is it true that you never wore your hat on the back of your head?
Yes, it is true.
And you didn't have a cigarette hanging from your lower lip while you typed your big story?
Never.
They never called you Scoops Dupuy?
No, sir. They never held the presses for me either.
You mean to say a city editor never said to you, Dupuy, this story will blow the town apart?
Nope. What's more, I can type with 10 fingers.
Is that so?
And I was never in love with a girl reporter on a rival paper either.
Dupuis, I admire you. Can I personally buy you a drink after this show?
I never drink anything but milk with the chill taken off.
You're a wonder, Dupuis. Can I shake your hand?
You bet.
Put her there.
Put her there.
Put her there.
Put her there!
K. K stands for kiss. What is a kiss?
Kisses is where movies have it all over radio. Because in movies, you can see what you're doing and you don't have to rely on your good ear.
There are two main kinds of kisses in pictures, animal and vegetable.
The icebreaker, or first kiss, is the more important.
Next is the clinch, or vegetable kiss, called so because it is the result of long cultivation.
Clinches are more or less a formality in happy endings, and therefore nobody pays much attention to them, and some people even walk out on them in order to catch the bus. But the icebreaker, or first kiss, that's a different dish.
There are three principal ways in which the first kiss is executed.
First, the shy way, which is proper when the boy is Gary Cooper or Jimmy Stewart, a wholesome American type. He fidgets with his hat or his necktie and sort of beats around the bush. Figure 17.
Well, you see, Miss Bemis, Nancy, I was wondering if maybe I could...
Yes, Mr. Smith?
Well, could I walk you home again tomorrow night if...
If what?
If you care just a little bit.
But I do care just a little bit.
You do?
Yes, John.
Oh, gee.
Then he sort of leans from the shoulders and nibbles at her, very pure-like.
Next is the impulsive first kiss, when the hero has been under perfect control up to now, but suddenly she looks so beautiful to him that he just plain has to grab her.
He keeps her crushed in his arms as long as the Hayes office will permit.
It is mostly this type of kiss which young men in the audience make editorial comments upon. The third type is the one-word or reunion kiss. This occurs when the hero and heroine have been separated by Nazis or fate or an earthquake or something. And after they spend three reels looking for each other, they are finally reunited. They confront each other in an agony of relief and pent-up emotion and say only one word.
Eugenia.
Cordell.
M. M stands for musical number. What is a musical number?
A musical number is when the boy and girl ride out into the desert, followed by Andre Castellanets and a posse of unseen musicians. The boy and girl begin to sing. And lucky for them, the hidden posse has brought along the right song, which they also know the right key and tempo of, by a stroke of happy coincidence. Next letter?
N. N stands for name. What is a name?
A name is what most fans are attracted to a movie house by.
The star is always the biggest name, because a movie fan can dream about a star when she goes to bed at night. But very few movie fans dream about a producer or a director.
The billing of names is very important in pictures on account of the most important names always come first.
In movie ads, the star gets the biggest type, and the screenwriter gets the smallest. It goes like this.
Charles Laughton! With Armand Peters, Sarita de Cordoba, Frida Fader, Catherine Key, Chuck Lewin, and Terence Kumquat.
Produced by Harrison Jones.
Directed by Jean Degas. Screenplay by Bernard McDougall.
Based on an idea by William Shakespeare.
O. O stands for Ostrich Studio. What is an ostrich studio?
An ostrich studio is a studio which believes social problems should never be taken up by movies, and there's nothing like good old entertainment, is there?
An ostrich studio plays it very safe, because, after all, you never know what pressure group or congressman or newspaper or friend of Franco might be offended, do you?
The theme song of the Ostrich Studio is known as the Graustark National Anthem and was composed by Francis Scott Foote.
Graustark is a mythical kingdom somewhere in the vicinity of Ostrich, Hungary.
Let nothing interfere with your enjoyment. We'll waltz our way through war and unemployment.
We'll enjoy the world in boys.
We manufacture syrup to cheer up your blues. Have you got those? Need a vacation from the world situation. Then cheer up, neighbor, fear no capital or labor. Keep smiling, sweetie, why fret about a treaty? Chinafella, we give you Cinderella. And you'll never have those headline blues. Let nothing interfere with entertainment. The screen was not for sadness or for pain meant.
We'll hug you and kiss you and dodge every issue.
We manufacture syrup to cheer up your blues. Have you got those? Need a vacation from the serious consideration. Blues. Oh, the whole blues. Keep grinning, oh, you kiddos, buck up, you widows. You must never sink as low as to have to think. So, Chinafella, we give you Cinderella. And you'll never have those headline blues.
Those ever-loving headline blues.
P. P stands for prologue. What is a prologue?
A prologue is when a picture is so distinguished and immortal, so epic and unforgettable, that it has to be dedicated. This is done by means of a rolling title.
To the women who, in the hour of their country's gravest peril, consecrated themselves unsparingly to the task of keeping beautiful, so that our fighting men could come home and find things just the way they left them, this picture is reverently dedicated. R. R stands for recalcitrant. What is a recalcitrant?
A recalcitrant is a character who just hasn't got the old team spirit.
Recalcitrants are very common in war pictures, where they appear in the form of sullen soldiers on important missions. Figure 14 shows a typical recalcitrant being good and recalcitrant.
Have a cigarette canister?
Nah.
You don't smoke?
None of your business. I'm here to take orders, and I don't want to get pally with nobody. So you don't have to patronize me, Captain, do you understand?
Very well, canister, if that's the way you feel about it. But just remember this, the army
is... Listen, I may be a rat all through this picture. But when the motors conk out and the pilot gets shot in the last reel, who's going to bring the plane in?
You are.
And then what are you going to say?
I'm going to say, canister, now you're true army.
Well, then all right.
T. T stands for Titanic. What is Titanic?
Titanic is the great comparative adjective of motion pictures. By consulting Figure 16, you will see that the scale ranges upward from the lousy picture, technically known as micro-Titanic, to the ultimate zenith. And between the two, there are 13 gradations. The scale is as follows.
Micro-Titanic.
Mini-Titanic.
Sub-Titanic.
Demi-Titanic.
Neo-Titanic.
Mid-Titanic.
Titanic.
Sesqui-Titanic.
Super-Titanic.
Super-Colossal-Titanic.
Megalo-Titanic.
Titanic-Titanic.
Titanic-Titanic-Titanic.
Tetra-Titanic.
A David O. Selznick production!
V. V stands for victory.
Victory is something you don't kid about, and neither do the movies. This has all been in fun up to now, but we just want to take a serious moment to salute the work that Hollywood has done to advance the war. With special reference to the Hollywood Victory Committee, the Hollywood Canteen, the Hollywood Guild Canteen.
Such fighting stars as Captain Gable, Major Stewart, Captain Haywood, Lieutenant Power, Lieutenant Commander Robert Montgomery.
Such directors as Colonel Litvak, Colonel Capra, Captain Houston.
And to such pictures as Sahara, Action in the North Atlantic, Wake Island, Mission to Moscow, A Guy Named Joe, Corvette K-225.
Air Force, This Land Is Mine, Hangmen Also Die, Watch on the Rhine, So Proudly We Hail.
Why? Why stands for youth.
Youth
what is youth.
Youth is very fleeting in Hollywood, where actors have been known to be all washed up at the age of three.
Now take the case of Baby Mervyn. Baby Mervyn was a famous star, but at the age of six, he's in the old man's home for child stars, figure 24A.
Oh, well, life is like that. So I'm comfortable enough. I get a check every month from the Motion Picture Relief Fund. I have my memories to keep me warm.
Would you do anything differently, Mervyn, if you had it to do all over again?
Different? Yes. Perhaps I would have put a little more money away for when I was 10 or 11. But I have no regrets, no reproaches, no recriminations, no regrets.
Z. Z stands for zoo. What is a zoo?
A zoo in the movies is where they keep the animals who appear on the screen, either as trademarks or friends or foes in jungle pictures.
The most famous animal in pictures is a lion named Ars Gratia Artis, who belongs to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Ars Gratia says grace before every Metro picture.
Luckily, we have Ars Gratia here in the studio with us tonight, and we're going to ask him some questions.
If he wishes to answer yes, he will roar once. If he means no, he will remain silent and not roar at all.
Very well. Ars, will you come up to the microphone? That's it. Now, as a lion who works for the movies, tell us, do you think this was a good program? You beast.
This was a movie primer.
Fa la fa la fa la.
The most elementary show you've heard.
Fa 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 fa.
An alphabetical primer.
A B C D E F E.
Having thus come from A to Z, our primer has crumbed the movie industry.
The movie.
You have been listening to Columbia's presentation of Movie Primer, written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. The whole project aided and abetted by Everett Sloan, Minerva Pius, Frank Gallup, Ted DeCorsia, Peter Donald, Tony Marvin, Hester Sondergaard, and Donna Keith. This was the first of a new series of broadcasts entitled Columbia Presents Corwin, to be heard each Tuesday night at this time for the next 26 weeks. Next week, Columbia presents Norman Corwin's tribute to our Czechoslovak ally, the long name none could spell, again with music by Lynn Murray. President Eduard Benesch of Czechoslovakia will be heard on the program speaking from London. Harry Marble speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.